The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, Junks. Coming to you courtesy of Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Just go to CropMetcalf.com for more details if you want to become the next five-star technician. We're joined right now by our friend Mike Jones, who writes for The Athletic, NFL writer for them, at by Mike Jones on Twitter. Which, by the way, Mike, good morning. It looks like you're phasing out your Twitter profile.
He is.
You're heading over to like Blue Sky. Is that correct?
I mean, I'm still on Twitter probably till the end of the year, but we're moving over to Blue Sky. But I'm doing both for right now. But yeah, come on over to Blue Sky. And interact with me there. I'm tired of all the craziness of Twitter, all the meanness, the nastiness, you know, and all the political stuff. So hopefully we can have some football, talk football, and nothing else.
Very good. All right, well, let's talk football then. You tweeted about 22 hours ago, NFL Week 12 takeaways. Is the Commander offense collapsing? A head-scratching loss to the Cowboys when they were 10.5-point favorites at home. This is a game that the Commanders should have won if the offense was clicking until late in the game. Talk about the Commanders' offense and what you and some of your colleagues at The Athletic are seeing.
Yeah, you know, I really wish that there wasn't, that we knew for sure how much of Jaden Daniels' rib injury from, you know, what was that, a month ago now, how much is that impacting him or not? Because then that would kind of give us a more definitive answer on if this offense is sputtering because of that or because Cliff Kingsbury can't develop a counterpunch. If you look at his history, when he was at Texas Tech, when he was at Arizona, and now in Washington, first half of the season starts off strong. Second half of the season, it's like the production really drops off. And I know when he was a head coach and I was asking people, they would say that it normally took about half of the season for defenses to catch on to what he was doing. And then once they did, it was like he didn't know how to throw some type of counterpunch or further evolve his offense. And he was asked about this last week, and he was like, well, I don't know. I'd have to see, like, what you guys are talking about, what history you're talking about. Well, I mean, dude, you got to know. So we've got to see
that was
now.
Weird. I didn't understand that.
His answer? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to try to act like, I don't know if he was trying to be funny or what.
No, he doesn't strike me as a funny guy.
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, at the same time, like, you know, yeah, well, I mean, in the past, you know, it's something we've worked at, we try to avoid, and, you know, we're constantly trying to get better at that right now. But instead, just to play dumb, that's not really portraying the strong sense of accountability that you want your players to have. So, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator, not the head coach, but he's still got to set a better tone, and they've got to figure out how to get this offense rolling again because they were really impressive. Jaden Daniels looked like a lock for rookie of the year. This offense was one of the top, you know, two, three most prolific offenses. And now they're in third and long a lot. They're struggling to move the ball, struggling to score points. And so remember, I think we talked a few weeks ago and we said this, stretch of divisional games is going to be the truth teller for them. Well, right now, it looks like they are a decent team, but they're not ready yet for prime time. And so maybe hopefully they can bounce back quickly and then get a strong run and still, you know, make a push for the playoffs. But if their offense isn't clicking, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being super defensive because I'm kind of all in on Jaden. But I don't blame Jaden, really. I mean, certainly he makes mistakes. He's not perfect. And, you know, I'm certain there's things he has to correct. But I just feel like this kid has all the ability, can make all the throws, is a really special freak talent. And they just got to – obviously they got to surround him with better talent, no question about that. And Cliff's got to adjust better. I mean, there's no – I mean, Cliff's the leader. He's the one, right? Yeah. But also, don't they self-scout? So, like, DQ, I know they do this. And they're just not going to – you know.
They won't admit it. We think we, like, really study this stuff.
Yeah, I know nothing. I know that.
We studied at the same level of these coaches. So if we see this, then they got to see this. And there's no reason in the world that it should take half of a game to get Terry McLaurin involved. Like, that's your best weapon. Like, scheme some stuff up. Move him to the other side. Do something. But you've got to get the ball in his hands way earlier than what they're doing. So, again, that's not on Jaden. That's on the play design.
Is it true? Like, because I'm just a dummy. I just watch the games and want to see Jaden do his thing. But like in like the Bengals game a little earlier in the season, they were moving guys around more, and now they've gone back to sort of traditional Cliff stuff. Is that true?
I mean, that's what it seems like. It doesn't seem like there's as much of the creativity. And again, I don't know why that is. I haven't charted plays to be like, okay, here's a motion, there's a motion, there's not. But whatever was working, okay, go back to it. And if teams are taking that away,
we got to adjust.
Look, all the great coaches, they know how to further evolve.
Right.
Throw something that looks like the one thing and then give a twist to it, because that'll happen a lot of times if you talk to offensive coaches. They might run something that they were planting a seed earlier in the year with.
Of course.
And then there's, you know, a curveball that you throw. And so, look, it's possible. They were doing it earlier. Yes, defenses catch up. But, again, I agree with you. Jaden has all the talent that's necessary.
Yeah.
He's got the mental capabilities.
Of course.
It's not an ability thing unless if he's, that rib is hampering him. But still, he's making throws.
Rib's an issue.
Maybe you're not running them as much, but you've got to get more than what you're getting. And I know the running back issue, that hurts. You know, the run game was a strong support thing right there. But again,
the Terry thing is inexplicable. It's inexplicable. And listen, I don't think anybody here thinks like Terry's like a top three receiver or anything, but he's by far our, outside of Jaden, our most explosive playmaker. And it's been like a theme. This is not even just a Cliff thing. Like, this has been a theme for the last few years.
Right,
get this kid open.
Yeah, but look, I've asked other people about the talent on this team, and multiple people have said, okay, well, look at that roster. How many guys on that roster would be able to play well on and be productive on another team?
Right.
Terry McLaurin is one of the few guys
for sure
that has been pointed out. So maybe he's not top three, but he's still a number one, legit number one wide receiver.
And he's by far our best.
Right. And so there's, like you said, there's no excuse for him having quiet games. You got to scheme him open. Yes, if there's, some double coverages or things like that, double coverages don't stop other teams' number one wide receivers because they find ways to, run decoys. And
you think CeeDee Lamb's not double covered or whatever? Of course he is.
Right. But you find a way to get them open, and so that's what's got to happen here.
Talking to Mike Jones, national NFL writer for The Athletic. So you cover the league in general. Washington faces the Titans next, and for an average fan, you think, well, the Titans aren't any good. But if you look at it, Will Levis over the last month has actually played some good football. What should fans expect when they face Tennessee?
Yes, Will Levis has been a problem for them early, but they have one of the best defenses in the league. As far as like the points they allow, they are very stingy. So don't think that it's just going to be a cakewalk. And Levis is gradually improving. He does take, too many sacks, and sometimes he throws some really dumb interceptions or fumbles, and his coach has even called him out for that stuff. But I see his confidence improving and his decision making improving, and that was a big win for them last week to beat the Texans, who were the favorites to win their division. So you're going to see a team that's got a lot of confidence, that's coming in, that's riding high, and so it's going to be a tough matchup. You got to get after them. They have talented wide receivers, and Calvin Ridley leading the way. Got a decent running back in Tony Pollard. So I don't think you can look at them and say, okay, well, they're, 4-7, 3-8, whatever. They're not going to be a good team. This team hasn't played like a great team the last several weeks. So it's, you got to really come hard at, with all of your effort and, hope that you can bounce back.
Hey, Mike, midway through the season when Andy Dalton was starting in front of Bryce Young, I automatically thought the Panthers would be in the market for another quarterback high in the 2025 NFL draft. But Bryce Young's been pretty good, at least over the last couple of games, and he helped push the Panthers to the brink of upsetting the Chiefs over the past weekend. What have you seen in Bryce Young of late, and are they going to stick with him as the starting quarterback heading into 2025?
Yeah, I see a young quarterback that's getting the reps that he needs to learn. It was absolutely stupid of them to basically take him through the preseason like he was Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. He played like one series.
Is that what they did?
And why did you think that he was going to be game ready in weeks one and weeks two in a brand new offense just like that without having gotten a lot of game reps? So, you have a first-year head coach. I guess he panicked, didn't want to lose the locker room, and was like, well, we should sit him down. Well, if he wasn't ready and needed to watch and learn more by watching, you shouldn't have started him in the first place. But now that he's been back in there, we're seeing him make better decisions. We're seeing him kind of understand, okay, if the play is not there, you don't force it. It's okay to pull it down and run, or it's okay to throw it away. So, yes, he's improving. I think that he's still going to be their guy. They gave up a lot to be able to draft him, and this also isn't a very great quarterback draft or free agency class. So you have the investment. You've got to make it work. Continue to bring him along. So I think that down the stretch of the season, it's going to be very important for his growth and development. But when you look at that roster, there is not a lot of talent. So they've got to work hard to get pieces around him to make life easier for him.
So speaking of rosters without a lot of talent, the Giants will be facing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and the wheels have just completely come off for this Giants franchise. They're 2-9. They haven't won a home game all season. They're starting Tommy DeVito. They released Daniel Jones. Malik Nabers is chirping at the head coach about not getting involved in the blowout loss to the Buccaneers. 30-7 was the score in that game. What do you see the future looking like for the Giants? I mean, is it wholesale changes? I'm assuming Shane and Dable are both out at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, John Mara said a couple weeks ago that they're both safe, and I've been asking around, and people point to that, but they also say, this is a really uninspired football team. Maybe Mara didn't expect it was going to get this bad, and he might change his mind and make a change there. We don't know, but obviously they are a team that does not have a lot of talent. They've made awful, awful decisions, but some of that is from the top down. They didn't really try hard to keep Saquon Barkley. We all saw the hard knocks. It was basically like, this is your rope to hang yourself with now. And the decision to go with DeVito over Drew Locke does not feel like a coaching decision. That feels like an owner who is like, oh, let's go with the fan favorite and hope we get some good feel-good vibes rather than someone who's trying to win. Because Drew Locke was the number two quarterback for a reason. You paid him $5 million to come here for a reason. And then to jump over him for the third string guy makes zero sense. So the only maybe saving grace is that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are doing what their owner is telling them to do right now, and that will buy them another year. Because also, if you look at this, who's going to want this job? This is a really, really multi-year reclamation project. It's not like it's going to come in here and you have a lot of draft picks and a lot of resources to quickly rebuild this thing.
Hey, Mike, for most of my adult life on Thanksgiving, the first game, you sit down, you're like, oh man, football's starting at 12:30. But then you're like, but I have to watch the Lions play. And I love tradition. I'll always embrace the Lions playing. But for so many years, it's just like you have to endure through just a bad football game. Well, that's not the case anymore. These Lions are 10-1. They've won all of their road games. They can beat you in a variety of different ways. Like, if you defend the run, then Goff's going to pick you apart. If you defend the pass more, then Monty and Jahmyr Gibbs are just going to slice and dice you out of the backfield. Like,
all right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is a really impressive team, and we're going to see them taking on the Bears and what should be a pretty fun start to your Thanksgiving NFL day.
Yeah, you know, divisional game, you can always kind of throw the records out. It should be, you know, a hotly contested match, you know, for a while until, you know, probably the Lions pull away. They are just, I was skeptical early in the year. I'm like, yeah, they made it to the NFC Championship game, but pump the brakes, everybody. Super Bowl contenders, but man, they just have gotten even better than they were last year. Like you said, they can basically come at you any kind of way that they want. You take one thing away, they're going to go at you the other way. Their defense didn't miss a beat when you lose Aiden Hutchinson. How in the world is that possible? You know, they and the Eagles, I think, are on a collision course for the NFC Championship game, and I think it should be a pretty good battle. But first, yes, Chicago, and it's going to be a treat to start off Turkey Day with them.
Well, Mike, have a great Thanksgiving. It's great catching up with you. We'll talk to you again soon. It's hard to believe we're already heading into week 13 of the NFL season.
It goes really fast, man.
Yep, goes quick.
Having me. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Yeah, yep, you too,
same
buddy.
To you.
Enjoy.
That is Mike Jones, national NFL writer for The Athletic. Don't forget, coming up later, Brian Robinson from the Commanders will join us. But when we come back, we'll get into the latest in the Hayfield High school football saga. It continues. The drama keeps unfolding. We'll tell you the latest in that next.